What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Nerd Tune In Movie Podcast. I do apologize for not having an episode last weekend, but the reason why is what we're going to be talking about in this part of this episode. It's MegaCon. Boy, was MegaCon something else. So initially, I went up as a fan, as just someone who was going to enjoy themselves. I was supposed to go up Friday, and I would have showed up late Friday and then had to leave early Sunday. Now, before I continue, I want to say that this trip, nothing went as planned. But in almost every case, it worked out better than can be expected. Now, I say that because initially I had plans to room with some people that didn't work out. And then I, last second, got a room for rent in a development close to the convention. So I'm like, great. Okay, I'm good. I'm going to go up Friday and we'll be good to go. Then I started talking with a good friend of mine named Kyle Willis, and who had a booth at MegaCon, and was like, yeah, man, when are you coming up? And I was like, well, I was planning to come up Friday, like late in Friday, but I have Thursday off. I completely forgot, man. I wish I could come up today, but to come up on Thursday, but I just can't. And, you know, I can't get the extra day on the Airbnb. He goes, dude, why don't you come crash on our couch? Let's go. So I did, and I went, and I got there Thursday and was there opening of the convention. And man, when I tell you, I spoke to people who were running the convention and they said that it was records setting attendance, not only Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I didn't speak to any of them Sunday, so I don't know for sure if Sunday broke records or not, but everyone I talked to, it was insane. I had never gone what I'm calling wire to wire. The second the doors open to the second the doors closed, I bought a premium pass. So I was there, you know, for the VIP early showing and, you know, get into the convention. Now, when I did that, it was very good. I mean, I had no issues getting through the lines and everything. It was a little chaotic at first. You know, you could tell that it was just a lot of people. From what I was told, the Thursday attendance was a normal Friday attendance. So Thursday, they opened the doors at, well, I think it was 2 p.m., 2 to 9. But usually it's the preview. There's not like tons of people there. There was tons of people there. It was absolutely insane. So when, you know, we go to the convention, they all go in, they start setting up. Because of course Kyle and his crew had to get their booth ready, and then I, you know, got in line to get all of the stuff that I pre-ordered, like my bag and an extra lanyard and all that stuff. But by the time I got through, man, there was this one book, and there, you know, there always seems to be that one book, that one MegaCon, New York City, San Diego Comic-Con exclusive that just, the second it releases, everyone wants it. It's hard to find. I was there, and I didn't get one of those Batman foils that everyone was sought after. I was lucky enough that Kyle gave me one of his copies. So I want to talk about that first and foremost. A convention exclusive should not be sold out minutes into the VIPs getting in. I'm sorry, there's no excuse for that. Now, this is not to call out any of the people who bought those, because it's not their fault that the convention didn't have a limit. I mean, how do you not have a limit? I mean, that is 100% on the Fan Expo people for not having a limit on there. They should have known that was going to happen. And then those books, they went from being, what, I think they were $30 off the rack, and literally that same day they're going for $80, $90 to $100 a pop. Man, that's insane. Like, I was there and I couldn't get my hands on one. And I, like I said, granted, I did get one because someone gave me a copy, but by the time I went to go look for one, they were already gone, man. Gone. And so many people are so quick to jump on, you know, the people who got a whole bunch, then flipped them for the profits. I mean, they followed the rules. If there is no limit, then you should be happy that the first person didn't buy all of them, you know. And I was talking to Kyle about this. I mean, it doesn't matter what actually is happening. All that matters is the optics. Like there were situations at other conventions that were nowhere near as shady or as, what's the word I'm looking for? Like uppity or whatever you want to call it. A lot of people got a lot of flack for things that happened at another convention where, you know, they cut the line and got a whole bunch of books and walked away. And now, regardless what the truth is, it's all about the optics of that. It just looks like an influencer walked up and just took a whole bunch of copies that were waiting for people that people were waiting in line to get, which wasn't the case. You know, there's a lot of, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It just matters it doesn't matter what it is. It matters what it looks like. And the optics are more important in many circles, especially in the comic influencer. Can't see because of my horrible green influencer space, because everyone's so quick to jump and attack people. I mean, not for nothing, but I should be considered an influencer. I have a Marvel account on Instagram, Marvel2K21, that has over 11,000 followers. I was up until recently getting paid to post reels. I mean, if that doesn't make me an influencer, I don't know what is. Maybe the fact that I don't use that clout to you know, brainwash or to trick people into doing things, maybe that's why I'm not considered an influencer to some people. But it doesn't matter. Again, it comes back to the optics of it. Whether or not I actually care about, you know, being considered an influencer could vary whether or not the truth or not. And what you see, how I'm explaining it, how I'm answering these, how I'm doing this, could lead you to think one way. It's all about the optics. It's all that matters. And the optics of a convention exclusive just being gone minutes into a convention is pretty bad. And it doesn't seem to matter to the party that caused it, the convention fan expo, because they got their money. So they don't care what happens to the people who bought them and now try to make their money back on them. So it makes it into this, we'll just pass the blame. And then you can even pass the blame even further. The people who want these books that are paying these crazy numbers, they're the reasons why this is happening. People are getting upset. And, you know, I don't blame them. I mean, I was there and I couldn't get my hands on one. I'm lucky to have a lot of friends in the convention / industry that helped me out in situations like that. But man, it's tough, man. Every other exclusive I was able to either get or had access to, nothing else sold out that quick, to the point where a premium pass didn't help a damn thing. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. I didn't get that book, and I did end up getting a lot of the books I wanted. I should do a MegaCon haul, but I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have that many books to show off. I didn't really pick up many things. I grabbed a couple of exclusives, and that's about it. I got some books signed. And like I said, I initially went as a fan. And then what happened when I got there is Kyle was like, hey, I got a buddy who might need some help. He needs someone to help him out, you know, get books there because he can't leave his booth and, you know, stuff like that. Man, and every once in a while, I was like, okay, sure. And then I met this guy named Will. I absolutely loved this man. I'm drawing a blank on what the name of his comic book store is, but I will make sure that I tag it in the links below. So if you're watching this, you know, just go down, take a look. Oh, shit. But so I was given an exhibitor badge because I was, you know, helping him. You know, I would wait in lines for him, get the books he couldn't, man his booth when he had to use the restroom, you know, stuff like that. So as having one of those now, I was able to come and go as I pleased. I mean, you know, with reason. But, you know, when you leave the convention, even if you go outside to smoke, you know, they have to scan your badge when you leave, and then you have to wait and get your badge scanned back when you come back in. As a vendor, I just hold it up. Okay, you're good. And I just went in and out. And then someone like me who has anxiety issues and needs to take like actual breaks, you know, to be able to continue doing the convention. It was, you know, breath of fresh air. And I will say this as well. I met a lot of people and spoke to them, and they treated me like an equal. Like, I spoke to artists that saw the vendor badge and was immediately like, okay, this is not just a fan. Let me talk to him like a human. I'm not saying that the artists don't, but it was different, and I clearly noticed it, and I get it. I mean, if you're there in that capacity, you can easily see that you're not there just to, you know, take up their time. You know what I mean? Like, it was more so like a friend walked up and was like, oh man, you're going through it, man. How's your table, man? How's that? You know what I mean? It was a mutual respect that was a very, very amazing thing to experience. I, as someone who is trying to, you know, break into that industry, it was nice to be treated as such. And it made everything that much easier. You know, that made that much more impactful, everything that happened. And I got to send a special shout out to the 305 Miami Comics crew. Tina, the amazing artist of 305, had a booth there and was knocking it out the park with some remarks and, you know, great covers that she was drawing. It was absolutely fantastic. I am glad that I recorded a little soundbite for and got some people sending over to the booth. I hope that was what happened. From what I was told, they did very well, and that's all that matters to me. I love these people, and I'm so glad that I got to really go wire to wire and really experience that con start to finish with them. It was an experience. It made me feel more part of the, you know, comic seller community than I did previously. Now, pardon me while I take a swig. Woo! All right. So now, when I mentioned all of that with the vendors, you know, and it was great. I was hanging out with Kyle and at his booth, you know, watching everyone do their thing. And as people were walking up, Kyle was literally like, hey, do you know who this is? This is Nerdtween. And everyone would be like, if they knew, they were like, oh my God, I finally met this person that I've heard speak all these times on streams. Or if they didn't, they're like, who the fuck is this? But they immediately respected me as one of their own because Kyle was introducing me. Kind of felt like we were in Donnie Brasco. If I introduce you and say you're a friend of mine, that means you know you're protected. But if I say a friend of ours, you know you're one of us. Like, that's how I felt. Like, this is my, like, I can't express the undeniable gratitude I have for anyone who I interacted with at MegaCon, because not just Kyle, not just the 305 Miami crew, not just any of the celebrities I saw, any of that, none of that. It's the people that I met that genuinely like, wow, I like this dude. He's cool. Like, and we just started talking about comics. And I've said this many times, the place I am the happiest and the most enjoying of life is when I'm at conventions. And to meet all these people who felt the same way about comics, or at least to some extent that I did, it really, really re-energizes me. You know, it gets me to the point where I can keep going and push forward. Not saying that, you know, oh, I can keep going. No, it's one of those things where when you're trying to get into that industry, to get a little taste of it again, it lights that fire, you know, the fire that many of us need to emphasize and to get us pushing through to get through our goals. And man, it was really great because I'm working on a comic book. I've spoken about this before. It's called Here Walks Monsters. And, you know, I did my elevator pitch and I showed my stuff to a few creators, and I got pretty much the same response from all of them. The art's amazing. The story is fantastic, but the lettering fucking sucks. So as I've been saying for a while, you know, my book's coming to print, it's going to print, we're getting the Ashcan It's ready. It's ready. It's ready. It's not. It's getting the pushback again, but for a good reason. I spoke with my artist about this. I'm like, yo, Martin, this is not at all a delay. This is a changing of a trajectory and changing the race that we're running, because I'm not going to put something out that's not fucking ready. I'm not going to put something out that is not something that I'm going to be ridiculously proud of. I've put decades of my life into this story at this point. I have now, you know, since adjusted it to be a comic book versus the novel that I was writing, but this is my baby. I've been making this for a while, and I will not put it out until it's ready. So that being said, like I said, sad news. We are pushing back, because I was literally to the point where I was sending it off to get printed probably this week. Not even joking. Like, but now I have to get a letterer to come in and letter it to the way I hope they can. So I am in the market. I'm looking for a letterer. So if anyone knows of a great letterer that needs work, or a great letterer that needs a shot, give them my information, because I'm looking. But back to MegaCon. I did a little sidetrack there. But MegaCon was fantastic for many reasons, but I didn't excuse me. I didn't do everything I set out to do. Like I said, everything that was planned out never didn't happen right. So far we've talked about how I planned to go out Friday. That changed. I planned to go as a fan. That changed. I planned to get all this great feedback and confirm that I'm doing the right thing and send out my book to get printed. Didn't happen. But so far, 3 for 3 for positive reactions to what actually happened. Now, another thing that didn't go quite as planned is I did a panel, not me, I went and watched a panel. It's called Chaos, Comic Chaos. I was supposed to have Donny Cates on it, and last second didn't, switch it to Dugan, who is a great writer for Marvel. And let me tell you something, that, again, worked out probably better to my advantage. Because during the panel, they were talking about all these great things. I mean, I posted a clip about how they were talking about how the one of Spider-Man's greatest stories, Kraven's Last Hunt, was actually initially a Batman story that was pitched to DC first, and then Marvel jumped on it. They asked, is anyone trying to get into the industry? And of course, I mean, I raised my hand instantly, like, yeah, me, I'm trying to get in. And they listed off everything that you need to make it. And ironically, everything that they were saying was confirmation that I'm on the right path. I have the recordings, but if I'm not mistaken, they was talking about writing something you love. It was talking about making sure it's what you designed and that it's something you can be proud of. That's what I'm doing. And they even mentioned how they wish they saw more black and white comics or with grayscale and it's color splashes. I'm like, that's literally what I'm doing. And it has to be a story that's gripping. So I got a baby. Let's go. We doing this. But yeah, it was really refreshing to hear from these creators, you know, Stegman and Otley, about how they create things. And man, I can honestly say that it was one of the highlights of my trip, and it was one of the few things that I felt like I was going to be the most disappointed with. I almost refunded it because they gave us the option to, because Cates had to cancel the last second. And I didn't. I'm glad I didn't. It was it definitely was the panel that I needed to see. And it's kind of funny that 2 years in a row now, I've gone to MegaCon back-to-back years. I only make it to one panel a year. both years. Last year, I made it to the Reading Rainbow Reading Rainbow panel. which was the greatest thing ever. And then this year was the Comic Chaos panel. But I definitely want to maybe try to get to more of those next year, because I'll be back next year. Next year, I'm hoping to have a table. I'm hoping to be an artist alley. You know what I mean? Like, I'm hoping to have people coming up trying to buy my book, you know, and get signatures and stuff. You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping for next year. Again, everything I planned didn't go the best way as planned, so who knows what's going to happen, but I digress. And man, when I tell you that I didn't expect things to go the way they did. So come to find out that not only was Kyle's and almost all the other vendors were all in the same place, it just so happens that I was as well. My one little bedroom was literally right down the block in the same development, and it couldn't have worked out better. So I, you know, go all day to the convention, go hang out with Kyle and the crew, do a live stream. And this is the first time I've announced this anywhere, but we're going to digress again from Mega. I'm digressing all over the place, but whatever. This is my podcast and I can do what I want. Recently, I was only on one platform. I was selling exclusively on Drip. Not that I had a contract to do that or anything like that, but I'm a very loyal type person, and I always hope my loyalty and, you know, work ethic and everything gets me what I desire. About a month ago now, I think it is, I am no longer being paid by said company. So I feel even less of a desire and need to be only on one app. So I went up, you know, to MegaCon with the intentions of trying to help Kyle and the Cowabunga Comics crew get familiar with Drip and help them, you know, get like all set up, and, you know, because I've got little tricks that make it easy for me to run on there. And then what actually happened was Kyle decided to help get me back on Whatnot. So since I'm not under contract, since I'm not being paid by anybody, I can stream wherever the hell I want. And that's what I'm doing. So I will be pretty much anywhere. Soon to be on eBay, already selling on Drip, selling on Whatnot. I will be selling on a new app that's coming around the corner, which I'm hoping to have the founder on soon to talk about. I don't know how public it is yet that the app is out, so I'm not gonna say too much right now, but so my name's the same everywhere: Instagram, Whatnot, Drip, YouTube, Spotify, you fucking name it. It's Nerdtween everywhere. The podcast is technically Nerdtween and a movie podcast, but you just type in Nerdtween and you'll find it. I'm expanding. I've got a lot of things I need to, I mean, listen, I, not for nothing, but I bust my ass for the people that I respect and who have, you know, truly been there. And right now, considering the fact that I have to now pay a letterer and maybe even a colorist, I gotta make as much money as I can. And if no one's gonna pay me and no one's gonna have me sign a contract, I'll only stream there. I'll be wherever I can get books sold. Okay. And not just one or the other. I'm gonna be everywhere. So yeah, you just make sure you follow me. But back to MegaCon. So that was, and the reason why I did that little sidetrack is because I once again felt the way I did prior. You know, when I first got on Whatnot, I was one of the first 100 comic sellers. I'm on the back of all those Invincibles. I've said that many times. This is not new news. Not breaking news, but it's been a year. I did one random show during their indie week just to, you know, to try to get, you know, some people to buy my exclusive. but I hadn't truly been on Whatnot for a year. Literally, with just a little help from Kyle, it reminded me of how it used to be. I was throwing up books and they were selling. It's because Kyle's buyers were sent to me through a raid. And he single-handedly helped get me back. I never thought that was going to happen. So I want to send an extra. I already said it to his face. I've said it, you know, earlier in this episode, I believe. But I got to send another thank you. Kyle, man, I didn't expect that when I came up, and I'm glad that I did, because man, the connections that I made and the, you know, future prospects of us working together in multiple different facets, man, it's almost next level. It's almost like looking into the future. And you know, you can, like, I look at the potential, and the potential there is just out of this world. So we'll see what happens moving forward with that. And I can't thank you enough. But again, now let's move on. We're talking about MegaCon. The thing that I decided, the one thing I was going to do, was meet Rosario Dawson. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. I had booked my photo op with her, and I was all ready to do it. I got my times mixed up and was covering Will's booth at the time, and I missed it. And man, when I tell you that, like, I'm actually tearing up right now thinking about this, because that's the one thing I wanted to do. I am a huge fan of hers ever since Rent. Rent's one of my all-time favorite musicals. I've seen Rent live on Broadway, sat first fucking row, front row center, was getting spit on every time they sang, and I thanked them for it. And then, I mean, everything she does, I love. And the fact that she is, you know, Ahsoka Tano now. She's live action Ahsoka. It takes it to a whole nother level. And last year, when she was confirmed and announced as the live action Rosario Dawson, the live action Ahsoka Tano, I made a post about how thankful and great that it is that we have an actress of her caliber in Star Wars. Because, you know, we don't get that. I mean, there's not like these like Oscar worthy actresses or actors lining up to play Star Wars characters. I mean, there's always, you know, exceptions to every rule, but Rosario is, she's that one, you know what I'm saying? She's amazing. And you know, I didn't get to meet her, and that hurt. But when I made that post last year, excited, she actually reached out and messaged me, said, thank you so much. I hope to do you proud. And you know, it's just all the greatest things I could ever. It made my year almost. Like that 1 5 minutes that she spent typing that message changed my entire year. And the fact that I didn't get to tell her that to her face and thank her for it in person. Really hurt. I was able to you know, I changed my photo op times. You know, I then instead met James McAvoy, which was amazing to meet Professor X, and so many other things, you know. And then the next day, Sam Raimi, I mean, Spider-Man, Evil Dead, I mean, you name it. I mean, it was great. I'm not upset about that. But I was supposed to take a train back, you know, home, and I had to leave early. So I you know, I had to switch the earliest photo op I could, and there was no Rosario Dawson photo op that early. And then I ended up, you know, riding back with one of my friends who I met at it was Kyle's friend who introduced me at the convention. He was riding back to actually past where I was going. So he offered to drive me back. So I you know, was able to stay the whole day, I could have easily just switched it to meet Rosario, but I didn't. Because I didn't know I was going to be there. And I almost honestly, if I had more money, I would have just bought another one. I would have. I would have just been like, screw this. I'm going to pay for another one and go see her. Man. I swear to you, one of these days I'm going to meet you and I'm going to cry. Like I'm crying just thinking, I'm tearing up right now just thinking about the fact that I was so close and yet so far. But one day. And then especially after now, you know, Star Wars Celebration in seeing the Ahsoka Tano trailer. Oh my God, I cannot wait. I'm so excited. But so I didn't meet Rosario Dawson, but I got to meet John Bernthal, James McAvoy, and Sam Raimi. So out of the three that I, you know, I took the photo with, I initially, John Bernthal was the first one. You know, I go take the picture. Now, to set the stage, I don't know if any of you are watching or will be watching this has ever actually done a photo op at a convention. This is my first time ever doing it. It's an assembly line. You get to say maybe 2-3 words. You take the picture and you walk out, which I didn't know, but that's fine. I'll go more into detail of that at the end. But so the people in front of me, when I went to meet John Bernthal, the Punisher, they flicked off the camera and I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm fucking doing that. So I do it, you know, I flick off the camera and then, you know, thank you, you know, walk away. And then they call me back in. It was like, he goes, hey, man, I didn't know you were going to flick off the camera. Let's fucking do this. And we both flicked off the camera. And it was great, you know, but that was 18 seconds maybe. And that was because I got a second picture. And then, you know, we move on to James McAvoy. And James, he was a really nice guy. People in front of me had great cosplays, you know, and then I follow that and just normal me. And it was like, hey, you know, he made a quick joke about how, yeah, I was like, how am I supposed to follow that? And he's like, you're not. And then, you know, shook my hand, took the picture and moved on. But Sam Raimi, again, I love John Bernthal, James McAvoy, not anything wrong with our interaction whatsoever. But Sam Raimi, he took the time to ask every single person their name and then repeated it. Like he said, hi, my name's Sam. What's yours? Said, hi, my name is Kyle. Nice to meet you, Sam. You're one of my favorite directors. You're amazing. Thank you, Kyle. And, you know, and then he looked at me doing the, you know, the Spider-Man, and he leaned in, did the Spider-Man pose. And Sam Raimi was the highlight of those photo ops. And it was because of how he treated me. And that, again, excuse me, let me take another drink. Maybe I should watch what I say here. Nothing against how James and, you know, John interacted. That's what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to, like, give you the time of day. They're supposed to take the picture and move you along. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe even thousands, that want to take pictures with you. And people still waiting to get the autograph signed. So they're not really supposed to, but man, Sam was amazing. Like I have to, that was the highlight of those photo ops. And at the conclusion of the photo ops, and as Jesse from Cowabunga Comics also alluded to numerous times and wouldn't let me live it down the entire weekend, which he's right for doing so, photo ops are not worth it. In my opinion, unless there is someone that, you know, like Rosario Dawson, I would have rather taken a picture where 2 seconds or we're together taking a picture than talking with most people. Like Stan Lee, like there are certain people that, you know, I would rather a photo op. But for the most part, you get a more bang for your buck when it comes to the signatures. Because when you do the signature, it takes more than a few seconds to sign their name. So at the very least, even if they're not feeling what you're saying and don't take the extra time, you get to at least say a sentence, you know, and see their reaction. You might even get more. And then you could even potentially, like, you know, hey, can we take a selfie? You know, thank you so much, you know. And then you also have an item that you can either keep or sell and maybe do some more stuff. You know, and so if you're asking me, and I know you're not, but I don't give a shit again. This is my podcast. So I say, if you're going to a convention and you really want to meet someone, I mean, really meet them, not just take a picture with them, get the autograph. Because again, you really get to actually talk to them because they at least have to sign their name. That takes more than a second. And maybe you get the picture, maybe you don't, but you'll still have the memory, you know. You still have what you actually experienced. And I would bet that most of them will let you take a quick selfie. Just like, hey, look, got it. You know what I mean? So definitely in the future, I would very, very limit my photo ops and going for signatures. Because, I mean, I sell things, you know, I mean, I sell merch, you know, memorabilia. So the reason why I went with the photo ops in my head, I'm like, well, I don't have anything that I want them to sign. Like, I don't have a copy of Rent at the moment. You know, I don't have, you know, any like the variant cover with John Bernthal on it, but have him sign a random freaking Punisher book. Have him sign a random Funko Pop of Ahsoka Tano. Like, duh, bro. Like, what were you thinking? Obviously, clearly, I wasn't thinking well enough. But yeah, I definitely will be going signatures over photo ops. For the most part, in the future, it just makes more sense. And man, there was a lot of great things that, and again, I didn't expect that to happen. So it didn't go as planned, but I learned something. And I was able to get a few pictures because now at least I have a couple of those convention like photos that I always see all my friends with. I got a few now. So, I mean, it makes me happy a little bit, but I didn't get Rosario. So that hurts a little bit. But moving on. So, you know, like I said, you know, things didn't go as planned. So initially, like I said earlier, I was supposed to ride the train back. Well, my train got delayed yet again. So if I would have followed the initial plan, I would have left the convention early and then just been sitting around waiting to get home 3 hours later than I actually did for staying the entire convention. And thanks to Kyle, and I want to send it, you know, a big shout out, because, man, I feel like I'm doing I'm just a broken record, but man, like, between, you know, I want to say Jesse and Trey, I really, really want to say thank you. You guys actually like welcomed me into like your you know, little crew, even if briefly. You guys treated me a lot better than, you know, a random person that you've never seen before should get treated. I mean, have you seen, I mean, we've done video messaging, you know, when I was talking with Kyle, you were there, you know, I mean, like, you first time y'all have actually met me. Kyle too, for you know, again, I had never actually like been face to face with Kyle. We've talked, you know, video chatted, and had conference calls, whatever you want to call them, but we've never actually been in the same room. So for you all to trust me and to actually like push me and help make me a better, I mean, for lack of a better term, I saw a lot this weekend, the past weekend, that I didn't realize about myself. You know, about what my own limitations I was putting myself on. Putting on myself, excuse me. But y'all help me see, you know, there's a lot more to what I can bring to the table. And y'all help me to, like, realize that. And I can't thank y'all enough. You guys are truly amazing people. And I'm not just saying that because y'all help me out. Like, I don't do that. I don't give praise or thanks when it's not due. So appreciate y'all. But yeah, MegaCon was just it's literally, like I said, it's one of the happiest I ever am, is at conventions, and MegaCon is like my big convention. That's like mine. Like, I know it's not mine, but you know what I mean? Like, when people are talking about, oh, what convention are you going to? Well, I know I'm going to MegaCon. You know what I mean? Like, that's just something that I know I'm doing every year now. And I definitely am looking forward to next year, and we'll see what happens. I'm gonna start planning now. But yeah, it was definitely an experience going wire to wire first time at a big convention like that. Yeah, it was an experience, and I just can't express how awesome it was. You know, I got to meet up with some people that I had never seen, like I hadn't met in person or haven't seen in a couple weeks. You know, CCJ Comics, they came up and hung out with them, the whole family. I feel like they kind of like pseudo adopted me into their little family there. And I was great walking around with them. The Escaped Pod podcast, man, I walked them around. Meeting them was another huge thing for me. Like, I follow their work on TikTok. You know, it meant a lot. You know, again, they respected me and spoke to me like I was their equal when I'm not on their level. And I don't know if it was just because I was at a convention and I had that aura about me, because I say this, you know, like, I'm the only place I'm happy, really, truly. Like, I'm not depressed and sad all the time. I mean, I'm sure I've got some of that, but, you know, like, my face hurts when I leave conventions because I can't stop smiling. Like, I'll be outside smoking a cigarette and I look over, there's one of my favorite artists doing the same thing. You can't get that anywhere else. And all I can say is that, man, I really want to go to like every convention, like ever, like all the time. Like, I want some Tony Stark person to find me and just be like, I just want to live vicariously through you. I can't attend any of these conventions. Here, go to every convention you want and just send me pictures. That'd be the greatest thing of all time. Greatest thing. But yeah, to sum up, man, MegaCon was a record-setting event. And I don't know who's to blame, and I don't care, but I don't know who's at fault and I don't care, but what I will say is, next year, you guys better not freaking schedule MegaCon and C2E2 on the same weekend. And it's not because of me as a fan. I'm a little disappointed. It's the second year in a row that I couldn't make it to C2E2, because I know a lot of people up there that I like up north that I haven't met, you know, that I really want to meet in person. And they're always at C2E2 because it's close to them. So obviously they're going to be there. But it's for the artists and creators. Like, it's not fair that these artists that usually get these two big conventions they can work on the East Coast had to choose. You know, some people, I mean, like, you know, like Ashley Eckstein and Katie Sackhoff, they can come for one day, you know, and stay a little bit later to make sure they get everyone done and then go off to the next one. But a lot of times that's just not feasible for most people in these positions. And you know, they deserve that. And I think whoever's greed or hubris, whatever it was, that made y'all schedule on the same weekend. And then also, as the same weekend as WrestleMania, I mean, even if you don't like wrestling, just think about all the wrestlers that would have been at both of these conventions, you know, if they could have. I mean, let's be honest. And you know, it really like didn't make a lot of sense. You know, it felt like it was just like a dick measuring contest. And you know, the only people that were actually affected by it were the artists and the fans. I mean, y'all both got your money. You know what I mean? Like, the people who run C2E2 and people who run MegaCon, y'all got your money, so you're good. But what about those artists and those writers and those creators and those fans that didn't get to do the things they wanted to do because y'all decided to have a pissing contest? Now, I'm sure what I'm saying is an oversimplification, and I obviously don't know everything about what happened, but next year, let's try not to do that. But do me a favor. If you guys like this content, I'll be going to more conventions. I'll be working more. I'll be doing a lot more stuff with creators and stuff. So please just give me a follow, like, share, do all that algorithm-y loving stuff. If you know anyone who might be interested in this content, yeah, send it my way. Until next time, this is Nerd Tween signing off. Peace out, homies.